The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Cathinone is a psychoactive compound that was isolated from the cot plant back in the 1970s. Now, there are over 160 types of synthetic cathinones which have been detected in the unregulated drug market, and which are increasingly being used as adulterants or substitutes for other stimulant drugs. So on today's show, we're going to learn more about synthetic cathinones. But first, the unregulated drug market, well, it's just that. It's unregulated, which means, in the words of the executive producer of the Drug Truth Network, Dean Becker, that you don't really know what's in that bag. Or vial, or pill bottle. That's why drug checking services are so important. They're vital harm reduction interventions that can save lives. Your own life, maybe, or the life of your kid or another loved one. The EU's Drugs Agency, the European Monitoring Center on Drugs and Drug Addiction, held another of its timely and quite informative webinars recently entitled Safe Festivals and Healthy Nightlife, Sharing Experiences Among Practitioners. Let's hear from one of the participants. Maud Cunha has a master's in pharmaceutical science and is a harm reductionist in Portugal who works with Cosmic Care at their drug checking service in the city of Lisbon and also at festivals.
I will start by introducing Cosmic Care, the work we do, and the types of contexts that we intervene. Briefly, Cosmic Care is a non-governmental association, and we've been working in festivals since 2006. We also have a permanent drop-in center in Lisbon since 2019, where we provide the drug checking service and also harm reduction materials and info. And in festivals, just to contextualize the type of events we'll be talking here, these are large events, sometimes up to 10 days long. These are events with very intense stimuli, like very loud music, sometimes 24 hours a day, 22 hours a day. There's also a lot of heat, like at least in Portugal, sometimes it gets to 42 degrees. So it's really, really intense. There's a lot of dust, there's crowds, and all of these factors make it prone to people not sleeping much. You're also doing a lot of exercise the whole day, moving around. Maybe you're not eating so much as well, not drinking enough water, and all these factors increase the risks associated with being in these places besides the drug taking itself. So what we do at festivals in response to all these risk factors and how to decrease them, we have an info hub where we provide harm reduction materials. You can see here in the pictures. We have flyers about the different substances, harm reduction materials, condoms as well. And we collaborate with other harm reduction teams and projects. For instance, Scanner Project with the TEDi drug checking network, and also a hair drug testing analysis as another way of monitoring. We provide the drug checking service. For those who never heard of it, drug checking is the chemical analysis of psychoactive substances, followed by harm reduction information and a brief motivational talk with the person. This means that the person comes to our service and they willingly provide a bit of their sample of their drugs, and we can test them and we can tell what is in there, if it's the substance the person was expecting or not, and also to detect what else is in there, the adulterants. And then based on this, we can give harm reduction information adequate to the real content of people's drugs. This is a portable laboratory. We bring everything with us and we work on the field during the festivals. Besides this, we also have a psych care services, meaning if someone is going through a difficult experience, either drug related or not, for instance, gender-based violence or mental health surges, people can come to us. We have a quiet space for people to rest. We have a large team of psychologists and psychiatrists and much more other workers, and people can find a quiet place without visual and sensorial stimuli and have support in this way. Thinking more about best practices applied to teams that will work in harm reduction, I think it's essential to work with peers, meaning people that already are attending that party, people that attend parties like this. Yeah, not only to take inputs from people about their needs, about what goes wrong, about the drug that is circulating, how people are taking them. Because sometimes as an organization working in these events, it can be hard to keep track of everything. And different subsets of people have different ways of taking drugs and contexts. So I think it's super essential to learn from peers. And also to give workshops and formations to share these scientific harm reduction information with people that are already attending the party, because in this way you are empowering people and you are spreading the message much wider. And of course, as all of the organizations here do, yeah, we work with volunteers and peers and sometimes also paid labor for people to work with us. So we are just organizing the service, then we have a lot of people in the community. Also, the people organizing the service are peers from the community as well. But it's important to reach as many different communities as possible. For instance, Cosmic Air started working more with the queer community, and yeah, it brought a big change also to reaching different communities and drug users and peers. And then I think it's also important to, as a party goer, to really prepare for this environment. A lot of festivals have some guides on their website letting you know of the, like, we will have tap water available throughout the site or not, or certain things you need to bring, like jackets, it gets cold at night, all these things, especially if it's the first time you're attending a festival. And then also a super important thing that even seasoned party goers sometimes don't consider in long festivals, is to really think about your drug use. Like, there are many days, you should account for days to rest. And also sometimes the order in which you take drugs, it can also be smart to think about this. Like, which drugs are you taking on the first days and then the last days, and which drugs are you mixing or not? And yeah, I think all of this can make a big impact in the experience you have and having a safer experience as well. What we've been seeing is an increase in consumption of ketones, at least the perceived one we have from working in the parties, since the pandemic especially. I think the same happened in Berlin, and I'm talking about Lisbon, and the same happening in Berlin, that people started taking much more ketones during the pandemic, and the trend keeps on going now. And what we've been seeing in the drug checking service is a constant change in which ketones are circulating. Yeah, if people first were taking 4-MMC, then it started being appearing more 3-MMC, then it got forbidden. Now we have a lot of 3-CMC and 2-MMC more recently. And yeah, of course, this brings a lot of challenges working with people and for people to take drugs, because not only you have a lot of new substances appearing, some of them very recently synthesized, meaning that we don't know, and like even science doesn't know the effects they can have. It's very hard to know doses and durations of the effects because they are very recent. And you can only get information from people taking it, and it's very hard then to build harm reduction approaches to this and know what to tell people when people ask, okay, but what are the difference between these and the dosages? It's very hard. And I think this also relates to other new psychoactive substances. As they appear, you get all these new challenges, because with older, more established drugs, for instance, MDMA, it was developed by a pharmaceutical company, like many decades ago. So you already know the effects that it can have long term and short term and the dosages. But with new psychoactive substances appearing, you really don't know anything. So this makes it much harder. So I think this is a big challenge for the future for these interventions.
That was Maude Cunha, a harm reductionist in Portugal who works with an organization called Cosmic Care, providing drug checking services. They spoke recently at a webinar hosted by the European Monitoring Center on Drugs and Drug Addiction entitled Safe Festivals and Healthy Nightlife, Sharing Experiences Among Practitioners. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. From Europe to Australia, but staying with the unregulated drug market, we now turn to synthetic cathinones. Now, I know that some of you have probably never heard of synthetic cathinones, but have you ever heard of bath salts? How about K2 or spice? According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, synthetic cathinones, known as psychoactive bath salts, are a class of potent central nervous stimulants that mimic the effects produced by cocaine, methamphetamine, and methyldioxymethamphetamine, or MDMA, known as ecstasy. Synthetic cathinones have been sold as MDMA, distributed as non-drug products, for example bath salts, to conceal their sale as an illicit drug, and also sold as illicit drug products. Stefanidis is the CAN test coordinator at Directions Health in Canberra, Australia, and has been involved in the fixed-site drug checking service as a Canberra Alliance for Harm Minimization and Advocacy peer worker and a representative of Pill Testing Australia. She gave a presentation recently in a webinar hosted by the Pennington Institute entitled Cathinones, a Session for Frontline Workers. Let's hear some of that.
This is a presentation on synthetic cathinones for frontline workers, for anyone that works with clients who use drugs, for anyone who uses drugs. And some of the information that I'll touch on in this presentation is based on drug checking results that are already in the public domain from CanTest, Health and Drug Checking Service, based in Canberra. So the CanTest service is led by Directions Health, and the service is delivered in partnership with Pill Testing Australia and CARMA. So that's the Canberra Alliance for Harm Minimization and Advocacy in the ACT. I also have to acknowledge that the service is funded by ACT Health, and the additional testing that happens after samples are on site at CanTest, that's done through a partnership with ANU School of Research Chemistry. I'd also like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the various lands we're joining from today. It's really beautiful to be back here in Naam on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. I'd also like to acknowledge that the CanTest service operates on the traditional land of the Ngunnawal and Ngambri people. I pay respect to elders past and present, as well as emerging leaders. I'd also like to acknowledge that the service values diversity. The lived and living experience of workers at CanTest serves to continually improve the service as well. So objectives for today: I'm not a chemist and I'm not a doctor, so there may be some things that I just need to take, any questions that I need to take on notice and provide those responses at a later date when the Pennington Institute sends the mail out following this presentation. But what we're going to cover today is an overview. We're going to look at the chemical properties of cathinones and their subjective effects, the historical context in which these substances have emerged from, address some misconceptions about natural or plant-derived drugs compared to synthetic drugs, and that relates as well to the role of novel psychoactive substances as a social phenomenon. We're going to touch on drug checking services, drug detection, monitoring and regulation. We're going to look at some common synthetic cathinones, risks, clinical signs of adverse effects, and some harm reduction tips. Okay, so categorizing drugs is challenging because chemical structures may be very similar, but the mechanisms of action, that is how drugs work in the body, and the subjective effects may vary greatly. Cathinones are drugs in the phenethylamine family related by a beta-ketochemical structure. So if you see this circled portion of the chemical structure diagram there, we're going to look at the chemical structure of a few different cathinones throughout this presentation. So please look out for this feature, which links all cathinones together. In terms of the pharmacological effects, more research is required regarding the mechanisms of action, subjective effects, and risks relating to the numerous synthetic cathinones that have infiltrated the drug market around the world since around the mid-2000s. Some cathinones may interact with the body more like amphetamine or speed, methamphetamine, ice, or cocaine, and others may interact more like MDMA, which is an entactogen or empathogen. The mechanisms regulating serotonin transporter functions may vary among different synthetic cathinones, and knowledge about the neurotoxicity mechanism also remains inadequate. Synthetic cathinones are phenethylamines, and drugs in that family tend to have stimulant, entactogen, or psychedelic effects. Cathinones generally have stimulant effects acting on neurotransmitters like adrenaline, noradrenaline, and dopamine. As such, the stimulant effect of some synthetic cathinones may feel similar to other well-known stimulants like methamphetamine or cocaine. However, the mechanisms can vary significantly among different synthetic cathinones. The way some cathinones work with serotonin in the body might be more like MDMA. Entactogens like MDMA are known for their ability to enhance feelings of empathy and emotional closeness. So, stimulants is an umbrella term that covers many drugs that increase or speed up the central nervous system activity. Stimulant drugs mimic the effects of sympathomimetic neurotransmitters and hormones in the body, including adrenaline, noradrenaline, and dopamine. Sympathomimetic effects include increased heart rate and blood pressure. They can make a person feel more awake, alert, confident, euphoric, or energetic. The range of effects among synthetic cathinones varies, and some are often reported to produce stronger effects that wear off quicker than better-known stimulants like MDMA. This can lead to people taking more, which increases the risk of negative effects and toxicity. Cathinones don't have psychedelic effects, so despite being in the phenethylamine family, there's no documentation of cathinones producing psychedelic effects like some other phenethylamines, such as 2CB or mescaline. More research is needed about the mechanisms of action of various cathinones in this category of drugs. Cathinone, that is singular, not plural, is a specific molecule. It's also referred to as catheine, which is the main psychoactive compound in the cat plant. The traditional use of the cat plant as a mild stimulant in East Africa and the Arabian Peninsula has been documented since the 14th century. Catheine was isolated from the cat plant in the 1970s, but catheine or cathinone was actually synthesized on a different timeline, unrelated to the cat plant, in the 1960s. There are hundreds of different types of cathinones that have been synthesized on various timelines, mostly throughout the 20th century and on an ongoing basis to date. Synthetic cathinones are a very common category of novel psychoactive substances, or NPS, and it can be quite confusing if you work in the AOD sector. We love our acronyms, but please don't confuse NPS with NSP, or needle and syringe programs. So, since the early 2000s, novel psychoactive substances have increasingly been used as adulterants or complete substitutes for more commonly sought-after drugs in the unregulated market. This includes drugs like MDMA, cocaine, and other well-known unregulated substances. Synthetic cathinones, which are usually found in powder or crystal form, are ingested via a range of routes of administration, including snorting, oral, smoking or vaporizing, or injecting. Synthetic cathinones have been demonstrated to produce more potent effects than the leaf-based catheine and can come with more significant risks and harms. When discussing synthetic drugs, people sometimes believe that the natural source is safer or better for you and can almost be branded like organic whole foods compared to synthetic substances. This misconception overlooks the fact that both natural and synthetic substances can be either harmful or beneficial. For example, natural substances can be deadly, and synthetic processes can produce helpful medicines that actually protect natural drug sources. So the largest and longest standing early warning system in the world is operated within the European Union by the European Monitoring Centre for Drugs and Drug Addiction, the EMCDDA, which was established in 1997. The EMCDDA monitors the unregulated drug market and performs risk assessments when NSPs are detected and considered a cause for concern. Technological advancements like the rise of online shopping and encryption, and the internet itself for that matter, have contributed to the proliferation of NPS. The European Monitoring Group currently monitors 884 NPS, with the largest group being synthetic cannabinoids. See the orange segment of the display diagram. And then closely followed by cathinones, which is represented in light blue on the diagram. And there is at least 162 synthetic cathinones that are being monitored at present in the EU. In 2023, legislation was passed to increase the powers and change the name of the EMCDDA to the European Union Drug Agency, which takes effect in June next month. In Australia, funded by the Commonwealth Government and administered through the National Centre for Clinical Research on Emerging Drugs, or NCRED, the Prompt Response Network and the public-facing The No Community platform is our new early warning system, which was launched at the end of 2023. I encourage anyone working in the AOD sector or with people who use drugs to visit this platform and join the No Community to receive drug notices and alerts from across Australia. So the EU drug monitoring system was established in 1997, and from the year 2000, the agency has had the capacity to do in-depth risk assessments on specific substances that are considered a cause for concern. In the past 24 years, 37 risk assessments have been completed, five of which were cathinones. I'll canvas some more common examples of cathinones. This is not intended to be an exhaustive list. Please bear in mind that new discoveries regarding synthetic cathinones are happening continually. Please also note that the information displayed on each slide is not standardized because the different information, there's different information available on each substance, and I've just highlighted things that you might have maybe seen in the media or if there was a recent alert or something like that. So here we have methcathinone displayed. Hopefully you can all recognize that beta-keto acid on the chemical structure. So methcathinone, which has had street names including Jeff, Mulca, and Cat, was actually prescribed as an antidepressant in the Soviet Union throughout the 1930s and 1940s. It was detected and quite prevalent in unregulated markets, particularly across North America in the 1970s and 1980s. So just putting it out there that this example is a cathinone that has had medical benefits and been available as a prescription medicine. Here we have two cathinones. The first one we're looking at is mefedrone, I'm saying that word slowly just because there's another cathinone that sounds very similar, and it also does sound very similar to methadone, the opioid therapy. So just be aware that some of the names, particularly some of the letters, can get a bit overwhelming, and it can be difficult to track which specific substance we're looking at. But mefedrone was synthesized in 1969, detected in the illicit unregulated market in 2007, and scheduled in the EU in 2015. It's known to have a mechanism of action more similar to MDMA than some others. That doesn't necessarily mean the subjective experience would be that similar to MDMA, but in terms of working with serotonin and potential serotonin toxicity risks, this substance is more like MDMA than some of the others that might be more like methamphetamine. The dose range is actually quite large. You'll see 100 to 200 milligrams, which might be slightly more than a common MDMA dose. If it's used intranasal, the effective duration is reported as somewhere between 3 to 6 hours, consumed orally 4 to 8 hours. The next one we have is, I'm going to give you the short name, MDVP, and it has the colloquial name bath salts, which you may have heard of before, and it is featured in a number of somewhat sensationalist reports at times. It was synthesized again in 69, and this one, compared to the first type of cathinone we looked at, has a really low dose range, 5 to 10 milligrams. Effective duration can be anywhere between 2 to 7 hours when consumed orally. So if we're just looking at these two, if your substitute was mefedrone or Meow Meow compared to MDPV, the dose is so important here if you're looking at 100 to 200 milligrams compared to 5 to 10 milligrams. Next, we're looking at methylone or beta-keto MDMA. This substance has anecdotal reports that liken the subjective effects as more similar than most other cathinones to MDMA. I have actually provided a hyperlink there to a paper that was released this year. I believe it was a phase one trial has been done in the US using methylone for PTSD, substance-assisted psychotherapy. And just in terms of the preliminary results, there seems to be less side effects when using methylone for such as a psychotherapy aid than MDMA itself. Effective duration is about 3 hours.
That was Steph Sinaitis, CAN test coordinator at Directions Health in Canberra, Australia, presenting on cathinones, a session for frontline workers, on a webinar hosted by Australia's Pennington Institute. You can find that entire presentation, along with a wealth of other materials, on the Pennington website, pennington.org.au. And for now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. This has been Century of Lies. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh.
And thank you all for being here. My God, look at all of you. This is fantastic. It's taken a long time, but we're finally at this point.
Century of Lies is a volunteer production for community radio and syndicated via the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network's Audio Port service. Please support your local community radio station. Find this edition of Century, along with an archive of past shows, at the Drug Truth Network website, drugtruth.net. You'll find a link there to subscribe to the Century of Lies podcast. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy and the failed war on drugs. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long! For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.